Good afternoon, brethren. Let me finish dressing here right quick. Thank you, Mr. Irvin, for those hymns today. The second we had was, I just read that in Psalms 84 this morning, and that's doing my Bible study, and thank you for that. Today, we live in a society that yearns for recognition for who we are or what we stand for. I think we all desire that, at least in one degree or another. We desire honor. Some accomplish this by the means of being a good student of societal norms, such as being good in business, philanthropic giving or sharing of one's wealth, giving of one's time and energy, and setting the right example toward other people. And we should all be doing that. We should be setting the example of God's way before everybody else. There's a man, Jeroiman Kimura, henceforth we'll be calling him Mr. Kimura, was one of those who claimed honor by living a long life. Mr. Kimura, a Japanese man, was recognized with Guinness World Records as the oldest person in recorded history on Wednesday, June the 12th. Now, obviously, this is not biblical history. We have many, many more that lived longer. Such as Methuselah, lived 969 years. We don't know when he died. There's been speculation he died 6 years before the flood, the same year as the flood, and 14 years after the flood. Well, obviously that can't be right because I don't remember him having a birth on the ark. So he had to die before then. Mr. Kimura was a Japanese, he's a 116-year-old former post office worker. He was born in 1897, the same year as aviator Amelia Earhart, the year that Britain's Queen Victoria marked her Diamond Jubilee. Now, we just had another queen just had her Diamond Jubilee here just this last year, Queen Elizabeth II. He died of natural causes in Kyoto Prefecture. But in December, he was recognized or honored. If you want a title for this, is to be honored or to be honorable. He is honored by the Guinness as the oldest man documented in history when he reached the age 115 years, 253 days. He was also dubbed the last known man to live across the three centuries, the 1800s, the 1900s, and now the 2000, the 21st century. When this super centurion was born, Marconi had yet to send the first radio communication over open sea. I mean, this is just stuff to us, you know. Bram Stoker's novel, Dracula, had not yet been published. And the composer, George Gershwin, had not even been born. He's been born and died long ago. He lived at home under the care of his grandsons, now get this, his grandson's 60-year-old wife. Mr. Kimura would greet almost any visitor from abroad with the English phrase he learned, "Thank you very much. You are very kind." On his 115th birthday, Mr. Kimura told reporters he attributed his longevity to getting out in the sunlight. "I am always looking toward the sky. That is how I am," Mr. Kimura said. My thought about this, now he lived through World War II when they were being bombarded, you know. Bombarded them twice with nuclear weapons. Always looking in the sky. Maybe he wanted to run real quick. I don't know. But anyway, he contributed his longevity for always being out in the sun. According to local media, Mr. Kimura ate 3 meals a day of rice, pumpkins, and sweet potatoes. I would have died a long time ago. He celebrated his 116th birthday on April the 19th by watching a video message of congratulations or being honored from Japan's Prime Minister. However, Mr. Kimura was admitted to the hospital last month after contracting pneumonia. And that happens a lot of times with older people. He leaves behind 7 children, 14 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren, and 14 great-great-grandchildren. That's a passel of kids, isn't it? Mr. Kimura was honored for his long life. Will we be? First, let us check out some meanings of the word honor. It is not my purpose to cover every aspect of this point. According to my newest 1988 edition of Webster's Illustrated Contemporary Dictionary, encyclopedic edition, I hope you wrote that down. First, we have high regard or respect. In Mr. Kimura's case, it was to live to an old age. Fame, renown, glory. A cause of pride, esteem, and honor to be chosen. He was chosen because he was the longest living, recorded living person in the world at that time. A sense of what is right and just, integrity to act with honor. A reputation for being just, good, fair, etc., a man of honor. In order to have or gain honor, we must be honorable, worthy of honor, conferring honor, consistent with or acting in accordance with principles of or honor, conforming to a code of honor. And we're to be acting, working for the code of honor, God's laws, God's commandments. Accompanied by marks or testimonials of honor. Entitled to honor, formal title or respect prefix to the names of persons holding important offices, or in this case, a position of longevity. It is this honor of longevity that we all seek, even to eternal life in the kingdom of God. In order to be honored, we must first honor first God by seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, including honor, will be added to us. Matthew 6:33. It doesn't say honor, but it will be honor. We'll be honored by having eternal life in God's kingdom. And second, we're instructed by the fifth commandment, Deuteronomy 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In 2 Chronicles 1, God honored Solomon's request for wisdom, even though he wasn't always faithful all the time or obedient all the time. In verse 10, 2 Chronicles 1, this is Solomon asking God, says, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? God's answer in verse 11 and 12. Then God said to Solomon, because it was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or life, the life of your enemies, in other words, let me just blot them out. Nor have you asked for a long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, over whom I have made you king. In verse 12, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor. Here, he's giving him honor. He didn't ask for honor, but God will grant him honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. God also honored King David's desire to build a temple, but only through his son, David's son Solomon, because of David's sins. The scriptures are filled with people whom God placed honor, both men and women. In Hebrews 11, most commonly referred to as the faith chapter, we have at least a partial list of honor those as such as Abel and Enoch and Noah. No, Methuselah wasn't there. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab, who honored God through their faithfulness and obedience to God. One example from this list is Abraham, who honored God's request to leave from where he was and go to a place that he had been shown. He didn't even know where he was going. By obeying God in Genesis 15:6, we're told, and he, Abraham, believed God, and believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. Well, Hebrews 11:10 says, for he, Abraham, waited for the city which has its foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here is a testimony of honor to God by just one person, Abraham, who is in James 2:23, is referred to as the friend of God. Job was another person whom God honored with a long, fulfilled life, in the end, because of his faithfulness. Now, he had his troubles, had his trials. God put him through the ringer, so to speak, you know, but Job was faithful. In Job 42, verses 10 through 17, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Job prayed for his friends, and then it was, and indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. We're told that whatever we lose in this world because we trust in God, will be manifold blessings through the end. Verse 11, then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been acquaintances before him came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him or allowed him to go through. Each one gave him a piece of silver, each one a ring of gold. And now the Lord blessed the latter days of Jacob more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second was Keziah, and the name of the third was Keren-Happuch. I don't know if I got that right or not, but in all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. How would you like to be the father of having daughters that were no daughters more beautiful than your daughters? Probably keep the shotgun handy, I imagine. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren to 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days, just like Mr. Kumira. I'm sure his life is probably more exciting than Mr. Kumira's overall, though. But let's continue in Hebrews 11. Though these had not received their full honor, they will. In verse 39, it says, all these, having obtained a good testimony, honoring God through faith, did not receive the promise or the honor. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. If we are to be honored by God, remember, it is not, as Mr. Cagle mentioned a couple weeks ago, so much as how we start out our lives, but rather how we end our lives, spiritually, that is speaking. Look at the example of Job. Just look at the example we have of Job we read earlier. You might want to read the whole book of Job. It's pretty interesting. Please turn with me, though, for our final scripture today in Ezekiel 18, talking about repenting and living. This was what was talking, is asking a question about should a son bear the guilt of the father, or the father bear the guilt of the son because of the other's sins. that every person should repent. This is in verse 20. First sentence. The soul that sins shall die. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, lives honorably, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. This is the ultimate honor from our great and merciful God. We should look forward to that. So let us at all times be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then praying thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May we all be blessed by God's Holy Spirit guiding and inspiring us to be of a repentant mind, having the mind of Christ in us.